little bit more than mid screen, pop them up, shield slash, pop them up again, shield slash, charge star. Hey, alright, welcome back. Shot Games Podcast number 111. We're episode 111. Three ones? Really, wait?
Yeah,
three. Are that far in?
Yeah.
111?
111.
Triple one? 2 plus 1 minus 1 plus 2. Never mind. Well, this is one of those weeks again. It's been a little crazy here, especially dealing with life. This is another E3 aftermath that we had.
Yeah, well, we talked about most of it last time.
Oh, yeah, definitely.
I don't think there was much else going on.
Yeah, I mean, we're just here to bring, you know, see what else we haven't seen brought out soon yet. Let's get to the shenanigans as always. Well, what I've been playing this week, for me, I've been playing a lot of my Super Nintendo again, because I recently found my Game Genie. If you youngsters don't know what Game Genie is, it's the start of, it's Game Shark, right, Wayne? Remember Game Shark?
Mm-hmm.
You throw in a bunch of numbers, you get infinite health, infinite ammo, the good shit. So, I've been playing that. I've been playing a lot of Legend of Zelda: Link to the Past on cheat mode. Unlimited magic, unlimited health. That's all you need.
Very nice.
That's all you need. Fun as hell. Let's see. I've been playing a lot of Star Fox, which is pretty much, again, unlimited bombs, unlimited health.
Nice.
No, it's not. Let's see, I've been playing, what do you call that? What freaking game is that? Oh, Mega Man X1, 2, and 3, of course, with the Game Genie cheat codes. And, yeah, that's about it for me. Oh, and also, Super Mario World 1, 2, Super Mario World 1, Super Mario World 2, Yoshi's Island, those two. Been fun. It's fun, it's hard, it's shenanigans. I'm trying to bring back the classic. I mean, it's, you know, hey, it is classic. I mean, if you guys follow me on Instagram, I post up a lot of classic stuff along the way. So, hope you guys enjoy it. For another boring announcement, what do you got, Wayne?
Let's see, I've been playing...
You suck!
Well, I'm playing some Doctor Who Legacy, Transformers Legends, Marvel's Avengers Alliance on the mobile platforms on those guys. On the console, I've done some Forza 5. And then some Call of Duty.
Call of Booty.
Playing through the new Invasion, the maps, map pack. Some interesting maps on there.
Really? How you kind of...
Yeah, I kind of jump into it just to... You know, get away and play a little bit, but it's not like exciting, gotta play kind of thing, you know?
That's like one of those, I gotta do it.
I'm actually on the Curse of the Brotherhood. Actually,
how is that?
For a platformer, it's actually very very different. It's actually very well done. The biggest difference is you actually have, magic marker, basically, is what they call it.
What?
You actually have a magic marker that you use to manipulate certain things within the game as you progress.
So, surprisingly.
I don't know if that's the only thing you unlock, but there's other things you get, but so far that's what I've got. And it's kind of interesting because it's like you can raise the ground up with it, you can destroy things.
It's kind of like Mickey's magic marker.
To a degree, yeah. But you're basically just running through it, trying to find your brother who's lost. Or kidnapped or something like that. Kidnapped, I think it was. Yeah.
Yeah, it's one of those, you know, typical run around, get him up type of game, huh?
Yeah. Other than that, I know I've downloaded some other stuff. I've got it set to download all the free games from the Xbox 360, but I just haven't gotten to those yet. I'm planning on jumping back into some more Forza Horizon soon.
Oh, you getting ready for Forza Horizons 2, huh?
Oh yeah, I'm trying to get. Well, I'm trying to get my points up as high as I can between all the Forza games that I've got.
Uh huh.
So I get more rewards every month, for the Forza rewards up.
True.
So that gives me basically better odds when the game comes out, Forza Horizon 2, to give me something better, you know. So I'll get free stuff that way.
Hey, free stuff is free, right?
Right.
Take it while you can. Well, I forgot to add, I've also been playing a lot more Marvel Puzzle Quest. Thanks, George. Prick. Let's see. Well, in light of this week, as you've been noticing the past, ten to fifteen podcasts, that George is not with us here anymore. Today, He gave his formal resignation from twoshotsofgeek.com, but he's also will still be a part of us. I mean, you know, give us a heads up and whatnot. Hopefully, you know, drop by, say hello, kick back, you know, his typical shenanigans before he was here. So my parting words to George is good luck, buddy. I know for a fact you're gonna do great. Maybe, you know, he's stepping up in the world, like you should do, Wayne. That's true.
Let's get it.
Anywho, we're still good friends. All three of us. We are the original three Two Shots of Geek. The three original geeks that started everything. And Godspeed to George. We're still gonna keep up. We're still friends. We're still Street Fighter gangbangers. Anywho, so again, we'll miss you, George. Hopefully you come back soon to us. We're still here in San Diego though.
Yeah, we definitely wish him all the best, and it's been a very fun ride, so we're going to continue to bring some good content to you with you guys without him, but it's been a definitely fun ride.
Yes. All right, so what do we got in the news today, Wayne?
In the news?
Well, there's a lot more E3 stuff and whatnot.
Yeah, a little bit popping up here and there.
Yeah, so this one right here reports saying that the new Assassin's Creed Unity will support, high definition 1080p at 60 frames per second on the PlayStation 4 and the Xbox One. So pretty much the resolution and frame rate for this year's Assassin's Creed game, it's pretty much revealed on E3. And I can't wait to actually play this one on high definition. Have you played any of the Assassin's Creed?
I played a little bit of Assassin's Creed 2. It's not really my kind of game. I just don't really get into it. I don't know.
You have no imagination. It's up to you.
It's a different kind of game than I'm used to. Yeah, I will say they were well done. I just never got into them.
Yeah, there we go.
Oh, I did jump into the beta for Battlefield Hardline on the PC.
Oh, tell us about that.
It really didn't feel quite right.
Hardline.
Yeah.
Well, give us some more insight, man.
So you jump into this thing and you get the choice to choose whether you're on foot, you're on a squad car. You can jump on a motorcycle, whatever you need to be for when you're the police or you're a criminal, whichever class you happen to be, team you're on. But you really couldn't do anything. I mean, I could run around. I could somehow drive my car through walls. Seriously.
Through walls.
You start at the police station in the car, right?
Yeah.
And you've got to drive out of the station. Well, out of the garage. Well, there was no exit, so I just drove through the wall. And it's not like the wall broke or anything. I just went right through it. I just kind of, almost like, kind of clipping, you know?
Clip? Okay, so a no clipping thing going on. Okay.
Yeah, I mean,
see that, but still, that's kind of...
Kind of threw me off the first time that happened. It's like, I'm going to crash into a wall. Like, wait, where am I?
Hey, you're right next to me.
Other than that, the weapons aren't too bad. It's just running around, it's like I really couldn't hit anything. You would shoot somebody and you'd be lined up perfectly for the shot, but all of a sudden they were way over here, and there are some different, I think there were some issues with the server when I got on there.
I hate doing that,
you know, that kind of stuff. It looks like it could be interesting, but it just seems like you'd have more fun grabbing a bunch of friends and going outside and playing cops and robbers.
Saves you some money, too. We're not saying that, you know, you should do that. You guys got to support, but still, it's up to one's perspective to see.
Yeah, I mean, it's just, this is early in the game too.
Oh yeah, I mean, this is beta. Yeah. Somebody the real deal type of thing.
So we'll see how it progresses. But
so for now, what would you recommend? Say if you have the publish, you know, the developer, what would you tell them to improve upon, especially in this beta form?
Really, they really just need to focus on the glitches and the bugs. I think that's really the main thing I'm seeing in them. Is some glitches, some bugs, you know, that sort of thing. Gameplay wise, it seems like it'll work. You know, I really can't say whether it's going to be a lot of fun or not until they get the bugs out where you can actually play.
You can actually play normally now.
Yeah. So
I don't know. It's still a working beta. I really did like the gameplay of the trailer for it. So it's very interesting. Let's see how things go from here, like after the beta. So getting back on the track, of course, it's coming back to Assassin's Creed Unity, the 1080p, 60 frames per second, and I can't wait to see how this goes, because I do have a high definition LED TV. I have a 56 inch.
Sweet.
So let's see how that Samsung holds up on this game right here. Alright, see what we got next. Of course, we talked about this last week, saying that Atari is coming back to...
It's coming back.
There you go, pretty much coming back. This Atari, the publisher, will bring out more games to digital platforms and reach out to new audiences like the younger generation that never grew up with Atari, like us, you know?
Yeah.
It's, you know, social media... not really social media, but yeah, social media, including YouTube. You also get real money gambling. You can actually play online, surprisingly. Yeah. And social casinos, too.
Well, I remember there actually were, you know, developers that tried that back in the day when we were kind of new to PCs, and there were some legal issues they had to overcome.
Oh, yeah.
But, you know what? We'll see how it works out now. Atari, you know, has a great name behind him. It's
they,
whether they
always
can...
have a great reputation.
Yeah.
I still remember playing Joust. Toing, 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 toing. Hey, man.
Hey,
that's true. I love Joust.
Joust wasn't bad, you know.
Toing, 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 toing. All right, so a while back we were saying that Ubisoft was not giving out enough female characters to play. Well, Rust developer says Ubisoft was unfairly singled out in the controversy over you know, playable female characters. It would be undoubtedly be good if these were more female, you know, protagonists in the games, what people are saying. Which, in my opinion, is pretty cool. I want to see how, instead of using the actual, male subject, you know, to counter it, to actually make more females out of it. They did that with, Assassin's Creed Liberation.
Yeah.
They did that. They had a female, which is pretty cool. I did like. I played on the place on the PSV, which is pretty, you know, cool in my opinion. But they should, you know, put a twist to it. You know, a main female, you know, protagonist as your main character. I mean, that would be pretty cool.
It'd be interesting to see.
Yeah, I know. I mean, it's like saying, of course, it's not more of a sexist thing, but for me, I would like it. The only character I'd like to play as, well, growing up playing as, is Samus from, Metroid Prime.
Yeah, Samus, and you had, you had Samus was the big one, and then you had later on a little bit with Tomb Raider.
Yes, so. Also, you also got Princess Peach when you get a chance to play her. We also, who else do we have from, as, like, female characters? Those are the only three I could think of.
That's kind of it at this, you know. I mean, yeah. there were others, but those were the primary.
The primary ones, yeah. So
you would really see periodically, you know. Yeah, really.
Yeah, no, I mean that's. Let's see how it is. All right, let's see what we got for the next news. Wayne.
Uh oh. All
right, this one's yours.
Oh, the Wii U is on the brink of success.
Says who?
Says their sales.
That's true. That's
Actually, quite honestly, their sales have been going
up and up
incredibly well. since Mario Kart came out. Basically, their sales are going up. They're looking for a very strong holiday, especially with Mario Kart and Smash Brothers, which are coming out, and then Amiibo, which is very interesting in how they're going to try to push that out there for the younger generation and maybe even the older generation.
Yeah.
I mean, the concept of having, you know, it's kind of like what they do with Skylanders, I guess. But it's going to be all Mario characters, and you get a little figurine.
Mario, pretty much all Nintendo characters. Mario, Link, Luigi, Peach, yeah. Toad, I think Bowser as well, from what I read last time.
Yeah, so you get all these characters, and you actually just tap it on the NFC port on the gamepad, and it brings some games to life, basically. So very interesting to see how that actually goes through. And basically, they're talking really big about the gamepad. It's been really well received. And there's no sign that they're going to drop that.
No, there's no way they're going to drop it, especially.
No. And I think the gamepad is revolutionary in terms of gaming. I mean, it really does a great job. I you know, it's funny because I can start up a game on Super Mario Brothers Wii U and finish it on the gamepad in the other room.
Yeah, I mean, that's pretty awesome in my opinion.
Yeah.
So hopefully they'll have more sales, especially when for me, I'm actually about 60-40% that I will actually get a Wii U because of the Zelda game that's coming out.
Oh, absolutely.
Not really that Zelda, but also the other one, Hyrule Warriors. Because yeah. I'm a huge fan of the Dynasty Warrior gameplay, and, you know, I never thought of having, you know, a Zelda game like this. So, yeah, hopefully Nintendo, you feel free to get my money anytime once Hyrule Warriors comes out. All right, so Call of Duty Advanced Warfare Multiplayer is a big step forward with what the developers are saying. So pretty much Sledgehammer Games won't go into detail. They're keeping it hush-hush from the 3 years in development. They've been able to innovate across the game. Let's see, what did they bring? You know, it's often criticized for not offering enough way to... Yeah, that's true.
There hasn't been any innovation in the last games. It's been new story, built off the old story, a little bit better graphics.
Shoot, shoot, gun, gun.
But same gameplay.
I mean, you can't really get any way into that. So multiplayer has what I'm going to call the biggest step forward, as you call it. Cool gear. Okay.
Yeah, it's really the only thing they can really do is give us better graphics. And new gear to change the gameplay. So
which they kind of did for Ghost, you know, customization
to a degree.
To a small degree.
Yeah. But they're looking at things like exosuits and futuristic weapons and stuff. So I really don't, I don't know. I'm not really anticipating this game as much as I should, perhaps. You know, Call of Duty and Battlefield, they've kind of let us down so many times. I'm kind of just...
Well, it let you down on Battlefield, what?
Well, it let me down on Battlefield 3 for sure.
If you guys haven't seen it, go and look through our archives. And George and I just kept on, you know, we're the antagonizers of this place. And we kept on antagonizing Wayne of how he loved... Never mind. Just go and look for it. It'll be up there.
This guy.
All right. So hopefully...
Hopefully it'll be a really good game, but you know what? I'm not going to be rushing out to pick up the new Call of Duty, the new Battlefield games when they come out.
I'm still stuck on the...
I'm going to stick on the sidelines, wait and see how it looks, wait how you know, people react to it, and see if it's any as good.
I'm still stuck on not Ghost, but... Black Ops 2 multiplayer. Sorry, guys.
Yeah.
All right. For all the League of Legends players out there who's listening to this, scholarships not available for all LOL players. Robert Morris University of Illinois has announced a varsity League of Legends team with scholarships, and I believe incentive players to enroll. So I mean, hey, why not full ride scholarship for college?
Mm-hmm.
Who'd have thunk it? Esports coming up real big now.
Yep.
This is a huge step for us. For us esports gamers.
This is something that nobody would have thought was going to happen. You know?
Yeah.
The idea that you would actually go to school to play games.
Yeah.
You know?
As I said, this is all age of technology. Here we are. Esports is a huge thing. Especially for it starts off as like sponsorships from Evil Geniuses, EG.
Yeah.
What else do we have? Well, that's one thing I think of, but there's other ones out there too. But this is taking up a whole new level. I mean, if you want to, love playing video games and also love to go to school, dude, this is a perfect match.
Yeah.
So, what else we have on?
I just need one for Halo, and I'm set.
Yeah, right. There's other better Halo players out there for you.
Oh, I know, but still, I would do it.
Yeah.
So, but the Vita's going to be changing their focus to more indie titles and remote play.
What?
Yep. So they're actually decreasing first-party support for the Vita and focusing on indie games. Indie development is actually getting really popular right now, so they're trying to hop on that bandwagon.
They might as well do that instead,
Well, they got to try something because they've been struggling a little bit overall in the Sony's big picture, but they've been doing strong in most of the gaming aspects.
Typical.
The Vita's been a little bit struggle. The PS4 has been doing pretty good. But yeah. So, that's what they're going to be looking at doing. I don't know what that's going to be, what that'll actually mean in the long run, but hopefully we'll get more innovative games, newer properties, new IPs.
Greater properties, in my opinion. So, let's see how this one goes from there. What do I have next, Wayne?
We got it.
Alrighty, so in the past we've done, what was that?
Well, we do Extra Life every
year. Yeah, Extra Life charity for our local hospital here, especially we do it for Raised Children's Hospital in San Diego. We played video games for 24 hours straight. Well, I just found out there's a speed running charity event. Summer Games Done Quick returns to Twitch TV, so you guys can tune in. For 7 days straight, they want to play 150 games. They want to do a straight speed run. If you guys don't know what speed run is, it's pretty much, beating the whole game as fast as they can.
Yeah.
I've seen Mega Man X been done like that. Legend of Zelda: A Link to the Past. I've also seen
Final Fantasy.
Final Fantasy. They've done that a lot too. Super Mario World 64 for Nintendo 64 system.
Uh-huh.
I mean, they use a lot of glitches, all that kind of stuff, but they actually do a lot of speed runs. I've seen so many, I can't even count for. It's pretty ridiculous. If you guys haven't seen speed run games, guys, go on YouTube and type in any game you want to see. And after your favorite game you want to watch, type in speed run after that to see if they actually do have one on there.
There's a lot of games on there. You'll find a lot of games that can be done really quick.
Fast-paced, too. Very, very fast-paced. Let's see. I mean, it's... Of course, it's for the charities that actually... That gives out...
Yeah, so they're going to be doing it for the Prevent Cancer Foundation.
Mm-hmm.
So...
They also have, different other charities, too, for, kids that was affected by war... of course, the cancer charity, but it's also all the choice. I mean, it doesn't have to be one or another.
Yeah.
We're going to do like we've done in the past. So, again, this is a great cause, no matter what.
It's always good to see gaming and charity coming together.
Yeah.
Gamers are very, very generous people, so, in general, so it's really good to see that happening.
Definitely. So we got our last story here, Wayne.
Well, we got Xbox One Outlast. It released shows that Microsoft doesn't require launch parity for indies.
That's true.
So it's basically they're relaxing the requirements that
really Microsoft relaxing the requirements.
Yeah, I mean, what they really want is that indie games will launch on Xbox One, with all platforms on the same day, but. They're more focusing right now, I guess, on getting the indie games out there, and there is a ton of indie games coming out this year and next year that were shown at E3. I mean, they had a booth that was 60 different stations of just indie games. They're coming to Xbox. So mostly on Xbox One, but also on Xbox 360. So
okay, so pretty much the older platforms too as well, especially for Xbox.
So Outlast is actually an indie horror game. It's from developer Red Barrels. The game actually focuses on the experience of a journalist who breaks into an insane asylum in Colorado. He's armed with only a night vision camera and the ability to hide.
So it's kind of like an American twist to Fatal Frame back in the PlayStation 2 days. Okay, this is pretty cool. Because you're only in charge of what? Of a freaking flashlight? Scary, scary game. So let's see. By just reading about this, I'm pretty hopeful for this game. I mean, I love suspenseful horror games other than just playing, you know, straight up fighting games and whatnot. So,
So, I mean, this actually launched on PC back in September, and then February on the PS4. So, now coming out to Xbox One, you know, it's, you know, that controversial clause that requires that indie games be released, you know, or cannot be released earlier on another platform is now, you know, I guess they're looking at it more of a case-by-case basis to see whether the game's worthy to be put on the Xbox One if they don't meet that clause. But hey, you know what? The more indie games, the better. We want to get more and more games on the Xbox One. That's the big key. I think Microsoft's understanding of that, so.
Aren't they always understanding for it?
Yeah, mostly.
So well, that's the news for us this week. As I said, it's been a little bit slow, especially after E3.
E3.
So we got coming forward to you. Well, right now we're halfway done. We're a little over halfway done of June. Next month, of course, here in San Diego, starting July. Come on. All right, starting July 23rd, this will be the San Diego International Comic-Con here in San Diego. So again, it's like the biggest place, you guys, the biggest Comic-Con, period, in my opinion.
And
everyone's opinion. You got people coming from London, which I talked to people last year as well. People from, let's see, Japan, of course, Taiwan, China, even Hawaii, Alaska. And what else?
You got people London. Come from everywhere.
Yeah, everywhere. That's what they call the San Diego International Comic Con. San Diego Comic Con International, SDCCI.
It is the
Comic Cons of Comic Cons. The big daddy of all. I mean, Fridays is the, what do you call that? The Masquerade Ball, a.k.a. The cosplay ball, in my opinion.
We're gonna have to get in this year and get some good pictures, I guess.
How in the hell do we get in that? It's kind of hard.
I know.
Anywho,
that line last year was like,
I heard it was stupid, ridiculous, man.
It was almost as bad as the one you're trying to get into the Doctor Who panel.
Oh, dude, that was worse. Oh, that was no. The panel from last year was especially Matt Smith's final years. That was the hardest one. That was the hardest one to get in.
Okay, so for you guys that haven't been to Comic-Con, imagine this. You have a line that starts at literally 3 a.m. in the morning.
Sometimes it starts the night before.
Well, sometimes it does. But, I mean, I know it was at least going on since, like, 3 a.m., okay, to get into the Doctor Who panel. The Doctor Who panel was, like, the last panel of the night.
Yes. That was on a Sunday, right?
And the line literally wrapped around the convention center, down around the marina, back to the convention center. I mean, you were talking, what, 7-8 miles of line?
It can't be that long.
Yeah.
Was it that long?
Yeah.
Yeah, everybody loves Matt Smith, so do I, but still, that is way too long.
Right?
Especially the legendary Hall H.
Yeah.
Does not hold that much people. I went to Hall H several times.
It's a good-sized hall, but it doesn't hold that many.
Yeah, I know, that's what I mean. I mean, I was there for the Walking Dead Season 2.
Mm-hmm.
The start of Season 2.
If you go to Comic-Con, you want in Hall H, get there as early as possible in the day, or in the morning, and be prepared to wait through every other panel to get...
Wait to hold your poop, wait to hold your pee. Hey, we give you guys a fair warning, right, Wayne?
It is the only hall that actually has restrooms inside, but...
But still, you know.
Yeah, still.
There's also a lot of things to do outside of Comic-Con. Well, outside of Hall H.
I'll be honest with you, Hall H gets so crowded and hard to get into that I usually skip it. You know?
Yes. We also go to the smaller ones. We went to the Marvel Lego games last year.
Mm-hmm.
That was pretty fun.
The one thing I never miss, though, is DC almost never fails us with a movie premiere.
That's true.
So I always make sure I get into that. And they usually do two showings, which is really nice. You know, I don't know how it's going to work this year because Bruce Timm is not really a part of that anymore.
He is. He's not. Yes, that's true.
So that'll be interesting to see how that progresses.
Who are they going to replace him with?
I think what's her name was taking over some of the roles in that, but she always plays a big role in getting stuff done, anyways. I can't remember her name off the top of my head. But hey, you know, Bruce Timm's a pretty cool guy. We met him a couple times.
Awesome guy.
Yeah, very nice guy.
Shout outs, Mr. Timm.
Yeah.
What are you expecting this year for Comic Con? So these are pretty much what we want to see or hopefully to be seen over there.
You know what? I'm really expecting. Actually, you know what just got announced today?
More Transformers crap?
More Transformers exclusives.
I saw you look at that, TransformersWorld.com. I saw you put it. Yes, folks, he is a Transformers whore.
Okay.
You know what? One time for the side, I you need to take a like pictures of your favorite of your room. Of this room right here and also your room to see how much Transformers stuff our fans should see.
So, what do they have? I don't know if they haven't posted here yet.
Oh, that's pretty dope box, man.
Yeah, the BotCon stuff going on right now. Some pretty crazy exclusive figures to that.
BotCon was fun last year. I like it.
I wish I could have gone this year. That was up in Pasadena.
Oh, but just speaking of which, going outside of Comic-Con, I'm trying to make it to the Power Rangers Morphicon.
Nice.
Yes, dude. Power Rangers. I grew up with them. I might as well go.
So, this is what the exclusive set is for... One of the exclusive sets for Transformers this year.
Is that Grimlock?
It is the Age of Extinction Dinobots with a Teletron 1 display.
Wait, Age of Extinction. That means they're going to have more than just Grimlock there.
Oh,
then.
Yeah. Yep.
Oh, and a little spot for Transformers Age of Extinction comes out next Friday.
The toys, they're the Age of Extinction molds, the new molds, but painted with the original G1 colors.
I remember picking up a Bumblebee. So, okay, alright.
That was Swoop, you know. So that's going to be exciting. There's also going to be the headbanger version of the Transformers, which
what?
I thought were really crazy.
The headbanger version?
Yeah, it's basically hardcore rock fused with.
You should do a small article on that and like find the pictures and, you know, make an article.
Apparently they're going to do a set of Transformer figures that have wild, crazy hair, guitars, and all this kind of stuff. So they look really stupid.
Sounds pretty fun in my opinion.
Well, I don't doubt that they're fun, but they just look stupid to me. So.
Alright. So for Alright, so getting back on track, Comic Con 2014 is about a month away from us.
Mm-hmm.
And Wayne and I are here to go.
We'll see how crazy some of those autograph line gets.
I'm actually, for me, my expectations is I've always wanted to meet Jason David Frank.
Nice.
The original Green Ranger, the original White Ranger.
Yes, our companions over there in Tennessee had the opportunity to meet him a while back. And
I hate you all.
You know, I believe we've got that interview up on Facebook.
Yes, we do.
YouTube on that guy.
YouTube and also on our website too as well.
Yeah,
is it?
Should be up there as well.
So. Jason David Frank, Dr. Tommy Oliver, the original Green Ranger, the original White Ranger. Even though the original Green Ranger and the Japanese one died.
Yeah.
Like, literally speaking, died.
Yeah, unfortunately.
they brought Jason back, which is going to be pretty cool. As I said,
They got a movie you're working on too, right?
Oh, yes. That's another movie.
That's going to be interesting because it sounds like they actually got a bigger budget this time. Like,
yeah.
They're going to go full Hollywood.
It's called, guess who they're talking to? Lionsgate Film.
There you go.
So if there's a petition starting for bring back an original Power Ranger, my petition would be for Jason David Frank.
So we got Lionsgate.
Yes.
So bear with me here.
And Saban actually, you know, trying to work these out.
Yeah. Bear with me here. Picture Godzilla in body armor as your Megazord.
Megazord, not Megazord. Megazord,
yeah.
Idiot.
Yeah.
Actually, you know what? I would like to see... that would be pretty cool.
Right?
Godzilla. It's Mecha Godzilla, more to say.
It'll be interesting to see how that progresses. We're also still waiting to hear how things are progressing with Tobey Maguire trying to produce a Robotech movie.
What?
That's been in the works for a number of years now, and they're slowly moving forward on that.
Live action or anime?
Live action.
Whoa.
Yes.
Well, they already done that. It's called Pacific Rim.
Not quite.
Wait, hold on. That's Gundam. My bad.
Yeah, no. Star Blazers actually had a live action movie come out in Japan.
Yes, I saw the trailer.
I had the movie.
What?
Yes, it's actually really well done.
You were holding out on me? I should kill you right here, right now for doing that.
It's really well done, even though they changed the aliens.
And? It's typical.
Yeah.
Movies tend to change shit
around. Speaking of movies, I saw Edge of Tomorrow.
I heard that was a really good movie.
I was actually rather surprised.
I'm actually going to watch that this weekend. Edge of Tomorrow. And I heard it's kind of like a more action-packed version of
Groundhog's Day.
Pretty much, yeah. So where's Bill Murray at this movie, huh? That's all
you
gotta say.
I thought I saw him in the background of one scene, but I'm not really sure.
Bullshit.
Know?
I'm gonna call bullshit until I see it.
Right?
I heard the ending was very, very crazy.
The ending was the only thing I actually anticipated coming up. I actually could see that happening. That was the only part of the
Shut
movie.
Shut up, don't blow it for me.
No, I'm not going to blow it for you. But it was actually really interesting to see Tom Cruise playing a slightly different version of the role that he normally plays.
Yeah. Run around, shoot.
Not just that. He actually plays character in this one. He has more acting involved in this one, and he actually plays a different side of the hero this time. He plays the scaredy cat.
Oh, okay. So he wasn't the Western gunslinger that went to Japan and actually fell in love in Japan. Pretty awesome. All right.
Yeah. Other than that, I guess we should talk about some of the losses we've had this last week.
Yes. Especially being here as an avid baseball fan, my first sport that I ever loved is baseball.
Yeah.
And as being hometown here in San Diego, you know, meant to root for San Diego Padres. Well, on June 16th, this past Monday, we lost our very own Tony Gwynn, number 19, Mr. Padre.
Yeah.
Due to a complication of cancer, he was fighting it the past 4 years.
Yeah.
I'll have an article up ready by tomorrow, and you know, give you guys a little more insight on who Tony Gwynn was. And you know, he's a hometown boy. He was actually born in Los Angeles, but pretty much
he's a San Diego guy.
Yeah. Yeah. Went to San Diego State, played 20 years for the San Diego Padres. And batted over an average of a 330, a 338 for every season for 20 seasons straight.
Yeah.
He was close to hitting an even 400 for crying out for one season, but thanks to the strike, that kind of screwed him over. He won, oh my God, 6-7 Golden Glove Awards, 8 batting titles, 15. So he spent 20 years in the majors. And 15 of those years, he was voted in the All-Star game. That's an accomplishment in itself.
He had an amazing career. And,
yeah. I mean, he retired in 2001. We retired his number 19 back in 2004. He went to the Hall of Fame, Baseball Hall of Fame, in 2007.
Yeah. And that's where... The first year he was nominated.
First year he was nominated. He got, 93-94% of the votes?
Yeah.
Jesus H, who the hell does that? No one does. I can't think of any other
player that did that.
No one at all. And also, after he retired, he coached for his alma mater.
Yep.
Which is San Diego State.
Yeah. So he was very big in the community. He was always active.
He was saying hi to everybody. I met him a lot of times, especially during San Diego State baseball games when we decided to go. Everyone was wearing, you know, good old, you know, San Diego State colors, black and red.
Mm-hmm.
I was the only idiot wearing peanut butter browns. It says 19, you know, the old school Padres jersey. It says number 19, Tony Gwynn.
Right.
And, you know, he'll definitely be missed here in San Diego, and especially having a huge hole in the Major League Baseball.
Yeah, definitely.
It's
his son is playing right now for
the Dodgers.
Is he playing for the Dodgers?
I believe so.
No,
yes.
I thought it was the Phillies.
Because I know he spent the past. Because I know last year he spent it with
His son's playing, so his son is continuing some of the tradition there. You know, we'll definitely keep an eye on his career because. Yeah, I'm pretty sure Tony gave him a lot of great advice.
Oh, yeah,
advice,
he's spent,
you know,
with the Phillies. So he spent 2006, two seasons with the Milwaukee Brewers. Then he went over here to the Padres for one season. Spent 2 years in the Dodgers. Now he's pretty much with the Philadelphia Phillies.
Yeah.
So hopefully we get to have him back here where he belongs. Where,
that would be, that'd be really
especially
good.
Especially where he wants to be, I hope, hopefully so. But, yeah.
You know, I remember growing up with you know, because one of my first sports I got to play was baseball. You know, I got into...
Who hasn't? America's pastime.
Exactly. I got into Little League, and one of the reasons I really got into it and really enjoyed it was, you know, I was a really big fan of baseball and watching Tony Gwynn out there on the field with other legends like Nolan, you know, looking up to people like Nolan Ryan and Ricky Henderson.
Good old Ricky Henderson.
That guy was a runner. You know... But then you had...
Just, literally speaking, we're not saying that because he's black, he's a runner, but he actually stole bases.
Yeah, he
like crazy.
He was one of the leaders in stolen bases out there.
Oh, yes.
But then you had Tony Gwynn off the field, and he was doing things with the McGruff, the crime dog. You know, you remember that opening?
I remember that. Holy
you know?
Crap. You know, it feels like
back out there at Jack Murphy Stadium having little events with that stuff, and he was always out there helping with that kind of stuff.
Yeah.
You know, they give out like these special baseball cards to the Padres back in that time.
Those were the fun days, especially growing up.
Yeah.
Good old Jack Murphy Stadium.
Back when things were a simpler time.
Yeah, I know. Yeah, Greg Vaughn, Ken Caminiti, Tony Gwynn, Kevin Brown, which so to say, Coolvio Veras. You also got who else?
There were so many great players we've had over the years.
I know. It's
you know. And not only just, you know, here we had, you know, legends that would come and play with us for a little while and move back to another team.
We had Mark Pryor in our team for about two seasons. We had David Walls from the Yankees, who actually when the Padres went into the 98 season, actually went to the pennant race against the Yankees. The last pitcher that played against the Padres was David Walls, and the funny thing was he lives in La Jolla.
Mm-hmm.
He's been a Yankee guy, but yet he lives in the West Coast.
Yeah.
Who also we had other than Mark Pryor, David Walls. We also had
Dave Winfield.
Legendary Dave Winfield. Nobody can forget who he was.
Yeah.
Trevor Hoffman.
Yep.
Of course, the other two, Edgar and Adrian, the Gonzalez brothers.
Yeah.
Both of them are alumni of Eastlake High School.
Mm-hmm.
Pretty fun to say. Who else we had? I mean, we also have Trevor Hoffman.
Yeah.
What's his name?
There were a lot of them, and quite
Jake
honestly.
Jake Peavy.
Yeah.
That dude.
Uh-huh.
Yeah, so, I mean, there's a lot of parties going back and forth back in the days I played with Tony. There's going to be a memorial during the game, this I believe this Saturday.
I think so.
If not...
It's coming up
if
soon.
If not Friday,
yeah.
So...
Yeah, so. Yeah, and today the mayor actually asked everybody to wear...
19.
Know, wear your Padres gear. Your,
yeah,
you
I actually, actually wore my peanut butter brown 19...
Fortunately, I didn't hear about that until I was on my way to work, so I couldn't grab my cap.
It's also our area code 619. It's June 19th, 619, so...
Yeah. Tony Gwynn is definitely a player that's going to be missed, especially in San Diego, but he's going to be missed around the nation. I mean, in the whole world of baseball, he touched so many people. It's just unbelievable. Other than that, we did also did lose over the weekend Casey Kasem.
Casey Kasem, who did the voice of Shaggy.
Cliffjumper and several others on Transformers.
Yes,
and,
but he's more memorable, in my opinion, is Shaggy from Scooby-Doo. Mm-hmm. Series, so. Sucks, one of my favorite voice actors. Yeah. Yoinks! Yeah, no, I can't do that.
Yeah, he was an incredible talent, and he went on to do radio hosting and some TV stuff. And
yes.
He did a lot with his career. It was really sad to hear that he passed away.
He passed away, he was like, 82. So if you guys don't know if you want to know what other voices he did, go ahead and look him up on...
pull up IMDb, and you'll see
an endless list.
Yeah, I mean, it's just mind-boggling.
A list of endless proportions.
I believe Luke is actually working on putting up an article to talk about about him, so we'll definitely be looking forward to that.
Yeah.
You know, if you grew up in the 80s or 90s with cartoons, even in the 70s, I believe.
Yeah, he did in the 70s too, as well.
Maybe even 60s, I'm not even sure anymore.
Damn, that far off.
I mean, he had a long career in voice acting. I mean,
a great career in voice acting.
If you grew up and you were watching cartoons, I guarantee you he was on one of your shows.
Just look it up. I mean, you'll be surprised at what he did.
Yeah.
He did several from Transformers, mm-hmm. Shaggy. I doubt he did Scooby, but doubt it.
I can't remember exactly. I've looked at the list and but it's like one of those things where you just, it's still hard to believe that he's gone. I know there was some controversy going on with his family and his estate in the last year or so, with him being, in the hospital and struggling. But
back and forth in the...
did some Ghostbusters work, too.
Let's see what he did. Go ahead and read it off, Wayne.
Oh, well, I mean... he played a character called Colton Rogers on the last Scooby-Doo cartoon. that was from 2010 to 2013. Obviously Shaggy on Animated All-Stars. Plenty of other Scooby-Doo stuff there. He did Uncle Albert on Shaggy and Scooby World. Yeah, he did Shaggy a lot.
Shaggy, 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 Shaggy. Blue's Clues, he was the radio, of course. Uh-huh. Rugrats in Paris, the movie, he did... okay, he was the voice of the DJ.
Yeah. Captain Planet, he was Lexo Starbuck.
What?
Mm-hmm.
No!
Two Stupid Dogs, he was Bill Barker.
Hey!
Yeah. On Tiny Toon Adventures, he was Flaky Flakem.
Flaky
Flakem. Interesting character name, huh?
Oh my god, that's hilarious.
In Sesame Street, he was actually Blue Man in Q for Quartet cartoon. He also did The Fly. He did a B cartoon for a narrator. He was in a TV series for an episode of My Two Dads.
Yeah. Also, here we go. So Transformers, a TV series. Who do you play?
Well, he played Teletron 1. He played Cliffjumper, Blue Streak. I think there's actually more than that, too, but... yeah. He played Robin and Dick Grayson in the Superpowers team. Let's see. Ben Briscoe in the new Mike Hammer.
Ben Britt, what?
Uh-huh. Yeah.
Also, he voiced himself on one of the Ghostbusters back in 1984.
Yeah.
Matt Houston, he did the new school, of course. He did Super Friends too, as Robin?
Yep.
What?
Yeah.
Oh, yeah, that was his other famous one, other than Shaggy.
Mm-hmm.
So,
he was a voice or announcer on Space Stars, Battle of the Planets. He did... he played the voice of Mark. He did a lot with... He even did the voice of Monty Marble in the Flintstones meets Rekul and Frankenstein. Yeah. I mean, this guy had an incredible career. know, I mean, just incredible. Let's see, what else we got here? It's gonna stand out here. John of the Jungle, he did several voices in there. He played Tom Rogers in Charlie's Angels.
He played Waldo for What's New, Mr. Magoo. What? Uh-huh.
Yeah.
Dude, that show's even older than us.
Mm-hmm.
Wow. So I guess, you know, this is a small list of what the late, great Casey Kasem has. So if you guys want to read up on it, Wayne said imdb.com, Casey Kasem. And there it is. The list is just endless. Endless.
Josie and the Pussycats in Outer Space, he played Alexander Cabot III.
Oh, I remember Josie and the Pussycats. That's the only cartoon I would watch when I was bored as hell back in the day, which is like, that's like, what, every Sunday night.
He even did Hot Wheels. He played Tank Mallory and Dexter Carter. Skyhawks.
Awesome.
He played Joe Conway in Skyhawks. I mean, wow.
Alright, so I guess that's it for today's episode of Shy Guys Podcast. What?
What? Yeah, I guess so.
Idiot. Alright, again, spread the word. We're going to be at Comic-Con. If you guys want to, you know, say what's up to us, feel free to drop us a line. We'll meet up, say hi, you know, take pictures. I don't know if we're that famous yet.
I don't know. I've had a people ask for autographs already, so I mean...
Really?
Yeah. I get them once in a while. I got one at the... Actually, I had somebody from Anime Kanji walk. It was like, I know you. You're from... I was like, really?
What?
You know me? No way.
Wait, hold on. Well, okay. It's kind of hard not to miss this guy.
I do stand out.
Yeah, you have the long red neck hair. You have pedophile beard going on.
Hey.
I'm joking. Anyhow, again, this is Wayne Fidel from TwoShotsGeek.com. Make sure to like us on our Facebook page. Visit our website to see, you know, what's new article coming up. And again, we're here to be in the future.
Eight minutes
at a time.
Yeah. What the?
Yeah, I know. We'll talk to me about that later.
Okay.
All right. Time to go. Deuces. See what I did there?